Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Blog Talk Radio, and welcome to Campus Conflict Resolution Services with Durham College. I am your host, Shay.
And I'm Deloxi.
And we are here today to talk to you about the three channels of communication. So you guys haven't heard from us since December, and we are really excited to get back to you guys with some mediation and alternative dispute resolution information. So here it goes. The first channel of communication is nonverbal / behavioral. This includes all forms of body language, facial expression, and gestures. And we generally form first impressions and give and receive feeling and emotions using this channel. Channel number two, the verbal channel of communication. So it's constructed of the words we use, written or spoken, to send information on thoughts, feelings, intentions, directions, and data. And our third and final channel that we are going to be discussing today is the paraverbal channel of communication. That's how we say things, grunts, groans, volume, pitch, speed, tone, and inflection of the words we use are for example, we can influence meaning and how we say things with paraverbal communication.
First off, we have nonverbal. Nonverbal is basically the reaction you have subconsciously for the most part to the data you receive. So if you're upset about something, you may sit with your arms crossed, have like a frown on your face, and just kind of emit this kind of negative energy. Versus if you're listening, that makes you happy or makes you optimistic, you may have a smile, have a more open body language, will have different cues to indicate that you're happy. So for nonverbal, some areas that really indicate the nonverbal channel are personal appearance. So what you're wearing, how you look, hair, makeup, they all play a factor in that. Body movements are the way you hold yourself, your posture, the way you sit, the way your body is either open or closed. Your facial expressions. So basically it's that smiling, frowning, crying, and other emotions on your face. Touching behavior. So how you respond to other people. So some people kiss each other on the cheek, some people hug. So that's also a nonverbal behavior. And use of time. So the way you use your time also gives an impression on you nonverbally. So if you're always late, that's an impression. Always early, that gives a different kind of impression. So through nonverbal messages, we guide and direct our thought, attitudes, and behaviors. We react to meanings of messages that we receive, and because it is nonverbal, the response, the reaction is very it's unpredictable because it's very the interpretation of the message is very ambiguous for you. So it can something that you may respond positively to, someone else may respond negatively to because they interpreted that message in a whole different manner. Most people use the nonverbal channel to communicate our emotions and feelings, and conflicts evolve and escalate when you fail to accurately interpret the feelings and emotions of others. And so another concept of nonverbal is empathy. Empathy means hearing, responding to feelings. It's accurately interpreting feelings from nonverbal behaviors is really essential to show empathy. We empathize when we demonstrate that we hear, accurately decode, and interpret the feelings of other people. So, and in mediation and in conflict resolution, empathy is very, very important. It's one of our most essential tools that you can have because when you can relate to somebody and can pick up on their cues, they feel like they're being heard, and it can also give you an opening to into them and have an opening for the communication to happen.
And now we are on to communication channel number two. Have you ever heard something on Blog Talk Radio, maybe even from CCRS, and not understood what it meant? Maybe we've used a word that was a little bit different than how you would have really explained that word, and you didn't really understand how we meant it. So that is essentially the verbal channel of communication. The verbal channel is considered the most specific form of communication, but words are often inadequate at communicating everything we wish to communicate. What this really means is that words are gross abstractions. As such, the meaning of a word resides in the mind of the speaker and also in the listener. So what the speaker is saying has to be adequately conveyed in a way that the listener will understand what they mean instead of what they interpret. Thus, abstract words have different meanings for things to each of us. And this really is where the root cause of misunderstanding and conflict lies. So, just because language is so abstract, you really have to focus on clarifying what meanings of words are and really working with the person that you're speaking to get a firm understanding on what they are trying to say. So an example of this would be the word justice. So what we did when we were learning this is we thought about different words that were synonymous to the word justice to us. And everybody had a different word. Some people equality, some people said fairness, some people said what is right. And those things all mean similar things, but other people had other opinions like listening to me or justice means doing your best. Everybody has a different meaning for a lot of words. There's words that really a lot of people don't understand in general, but then there's also words that people do think that they have a firm grasp on. And in those cases, if what you're saying and what you mean is different than what somebody else understands, that can be a huge cause of conflict in a relationship and just in general. So if you were to really try and find a way to get around conflict using the verbal channel of communication, you can always ask for clarification for the meaning of abstract concepts. And you can write down what people mean so that you can keep that for later, or you can keep it for just further in that same conversation. And it would be really nice if you continuously ask questions, not in a mean and repetitive way, but if you continuously ask questions to clarify understanding, people will see that you care and that you genuinely want to know how they feel and what they are thinking. And also, when you're in a negotiation of any type, or if you're trying to navigate your way out of conflict, make sure to be as clear and concise as you can be when you're speaking and working through negotiations. And also be sure of your own definitions of abstract concepts.
So next up, I want you to first think about how you react to different emotions. So if you are angry, how would you react? If you are surprised, how would you react? If you were upset, how would you react? All your reactions is how you say something, and that how is the paraverbal portion of it. Paraverbal is when we show our emotions through, say, groaning or grunts and changes in volume, pitch, tone, rhythm, and inflection. So for example is if something surprised you, you may make a gasping motion, or if something upset you or disappointed you, you make a groaning motion. So, and like the nonverbal channel, the paraverbal is very, very ambiguous and open to diverse interpretations, because some people when they hear something, they may snort as a response and to it being comedic in nature, but some people also snort when they're indignant or they're trying to make a sarcastic comment. So each response can be seen in different manners. When you listen to these paraverbal messages, you're helping others convey their message. People usually appreciate this, and it shows you care about them as people and value the relationship with them. If you continue to only hear someone's words and ignore the nonverbal or paraverbal content, you will completely miss the point. An example that we read about before, it was when there was a couple and the husband asked the wife if she was okay, how she was doing, and she said, he asked if something was wrong, and she said, no, nothing's wrong. And he just listened to the words, not to her sobbing in the background or her tone or the way she said the word, nothing.
and he just went on about his business and did not pay attention to her at all. That kind of response can lead to conflict and escalate it in the future as well. And as a mediator, you should listen to the changes in tone, pitch, voice, volume, and so forth to really understand what someone's saying and pick up on cues that can really help you open up the doors of communication and to help you really build a sort of rapport with the person that you're trying to help.
All right, guys, that is it for the three channels of conflict, communication, channels of communication. Sorry about that. So just so you know, in the future, we are going to be discussing various different really interesting topics, so please tune in Thursdays at 12:30 p.m. So just a heads up, we're going to be talking about listening to resolve conflict and building lasting relationships. We're going to be talking about the communication continua. We are going to be talking about if you are capable at resolving conflict and being a mediator if you need to. We are going to be talking about opening the doors to conflict resolution. We're going to be talking about the building blocks of collaboration, and we are absolutely going to be talking about integrative negotiation, negotiating as partners. And also in the future, we will be talking about cultural differences in conflict. So please stay tuned and follow us on Twitter. Look at our Facebook. We have it posted on our description. And we look forward to hearing from you soon. That's all from CCRS. This is Blaxie. This is Shay signing off. Bye.